Good morning, all. If you'd like to follow the Bible reading with me, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 22. I'm going to be using the NIV version just for convenience because some of the words make a lot more sense. But if you'd like to follow in the version you have, we'll do our best. Now, it's about the baptism of Jesus, but most of the reading actually happens about the person who did the baptism, John the Baptist. Starting from verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. Now John answered them all and said, I baptize you with water, but the one more powerful than I will come, and the straps of his sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things that he had done, then Herod added to these by locking John up in prison. Now when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
I'm not a great fan of swimming in a river. I like to see through the water. And the River Murray isn't great for that. But I love the river. I love to walk alongside it, to take photos. I love the bird life. I love the trees. And I like to water ski. That's okay because you're on top of the water, mostly. I just don't like to be in it. Today we're by a river, the River Jordan, with John the Baptist, Jesus, and a whole bunch of people. Jesus grows up quickly, doesn't he? See, last week on the church calendar, he was a toddler, a small child when the wise men were visiting. And here he is this week at age 30 about to start his ministry. It's a big jump. Being baptized in the River Jordan. And the River Jordan isn't where one would have expected Jesus to start his ministry. But then he often broke expectations in his ministry. And here he turns up in an unexpected place at the beginning. He doesn't begin with the religious people. He doesn't begin with the religious centre. He comes to the River Jordan. The Jews expected a god, not a baby. They expected a king in a palace, not a manger or a feed trough. They expected a Messiah, but not at the River Jordan. The River Jordan was the least likely place. With the least likely people, he doesn't start with the people that were the most religious of the day. Now, God hasn't spoken through a prophet or anyone for 416 years until John the Baptist enters the story. He's a cousin of Jesus. He's at the River Jordan, an out-of-the-way place. Now, this is not the place that a PR company would suggest that he go. Nor would it be a place where the Bible college would send him. It's not conveniently located. It's not strategic for exposure or connecting with people. If he'd done a demographic study, this is not the place. But John goes to the River Jordan and expects people to come to him, and they do. We get groups of tax collectors, soldiers, even Gentiles. Now, the Jews had two categories for people. People that were Jews and people that weren't. The Gentiles. The Jews felt they were the professionals. They were the special ones. They'd made the cut. But John the Baptist tells them that they haven't, that everyone must repent, including Jews. Baptism wasn't for the Jews. It was actually for the Gentiles. So John's telling the Jews they need to be baptized just like the outsiders. This is countercultural at the time. The account is written by Luke, who isn't Jewish. He's a Greek physician or doctor from Antioch. And he quotes Isaiah just a few verses previously. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. All people will see God's salvation. John is the voice calling in the wilderness, and people have come to the wilderness. They're desperate. They want to be right with God, and they're prepared to come to the wilderness. And then John speaks kindly to them and tells them everything's going to be okay. Except that's not what he says. He says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You brood of vipers." He's basically calling them a bunch of snakes. They've taken a 40 to 50 kilometre journey from Jerusalem to the wilderness to be called a bunch of snakes. This is not a feel-good sermon. But there's good news. John tells them that forgiveness is possible. They should repent, change, believe, and be baptized. And then he baptizes them in the Jordan. Now, the River Jordan is below sea level. It starts at the Sea of Galilee, and it flows down 250 kilometers of farmland and ends in the Dead Sea. It's the lowest spot on earth. There's a lot of desert, dust, and dirt on the way. It's the world's lowest river, flowing mainly well below sea level. Some of the valleys are in a rain shadow. So this is wilderness country. It's the middle of nowhere. And it's at the River Jordan that Jesus comes. We might have expected when he started his ministry that it might be on the top of a mountain, or perhaps in the religious centre, Jerusalem. But God shows up at Jordan with desperate people, people questioning what they should do, people being real, people looking for a miracle in their lives. I love this picture. God gets close when we get real. Reminds me of Psalm 148. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. That's being real. Or Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I don't know about you, but these words really encourage me. It's good to know that God is with me in the River Jordan times of my life. When I'm in the wilderness, when I'm questioning, when I'm wondering, when I'm desperate. Back to the story. The people are wondering if John might be the Messiah. And John answers with this, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now the rabbis had disciples who performed all sorts of menial tasks for them, except the removing of their sandals. It was unthinkable for anyone else to handle your sandals after a day spent walking around in a time without sewers. But John says the one who is coming is so great that even he is unfit to perform this lowly task for him. John the prophet, the one that Isaiah referred to all those years before, the voice calling in the wilderness, is unfit to untie the sandals of Jesus. And this one will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John baptizes with water. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire, foreshadowing Pentecost in Acts 2. When they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of the disciples. So Jesus comes to the River Jordan, and when all the people were being baptized, he's baptized too. He was baptized publicly, in community. I think we're all looking for community in some form. Today we're moving away from that radical individualism of modernity, and we're longing for community. Luke hardly describes the baptism at this point. Doesn't even mention John. Luke's interest is the communication between God and God's Son. The heavens open, the Holy Spirit descends on him in bodily form like a dove, anointing him as the Messiah. And a voice comes from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is a beautiful intimacy. There's a picture here of the Trinity, all present at baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now here in the Greek, God is talking to Jesus, addressing Jesus as Son, not an angel, but a Son, much loved. And there are echoes of Psalm 2 here, "You are my Son." Or Isaiah 42, "My chosen one in whom I delight," or Hebrews 1, "You are my Son." With him, God is well pleased. Now, in the Greek, it can be also translated, "In you, I think it good." Or, "In you is good." It reminds us of the creation narrative, where God makes something and calls it good. The painting on the screen is from Daniel Bonnell. It's called "The Baptism of the Christ." I love the colour, the surrender of Jesus, the intimacy, the unity, the sense of prayer, the wonder, the mystery. "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Although the baptism of Jesus is in all four Gospels, Luke is the only one that mentions that Jesus is praying. As he was praying, heaven was opened. Luke returns time and time again to prayer in his Gospel and also in Acts, which he also wrote. Prayer signifies Jesus' deep devotion to God the Father. And Jesus prays before all these significant events, like calling the disciples, or before the Transfiguration, before his death, even on the cross. And if Jesus is praying before these significant events, how much more so should we be praying before significant events in our life? Following this narrative of the baptism, Luke goes into this detailed genealogy. Now, Matthew does a genealogy as well, starting at Abraham, but Luke does it differently. He seems to say that, "Matthew, you've stopped too soon. You need to go back further than Abraham, who was a Jew, to represent all people, all humankind." Luke writes this gospel about 60 CE in the Common Era. And by this time, the word is getting out. It's spreading fast to all the people, and we are part of the result of that word getting out. Interesting that philosophers in the last century thought that, well, they predicted actually, that Christianity would die out. But it's not dying out. It is the largest religion in 5 of the 6 continents of the world. It's the most diverse religion in the world. And still it grows. This movement continues to grow, because this movement is for all people. God authors a story through generations, and we get to be a part of that story. So what do we take from this into our lives, into our week, into our stories? God's salvation is for all people, all languages, all colours, all heights, all sizes, all people. God's forgiveness is for all people. And do we live in this, God's forgiveness for us, God's transforming love for all people that we come into contact with? Do we share the good news? Do we live out this good news? How do people know that God's salvation is for all people by the way that we, you and I, live our lives, by our actions, our words, our love, and our very being? Jesus started his ministry in the unexpected place with unexpected people. God didn't start with the expected, but the unexpected. And God often uses the unexpected. God gets close when we get real, when we're at the River Jordan, when we're honest and real and authentic. I value being in communities that are real, when it's okay to be honest, when it's okay to ask the hard questions. When we meet in connect groups, small groups, home groups, they're great places to be real. There's only one person in history that hasn't needed baptism, and yet Jesus was baptized. So now we get to participate in his baptism. We enter his baptism. That baptism doesn't save us, but is the outward and visible sign of inward grace, of God's love for us. When we remember the baptism of Jesus, and each time that we witness a baptism, we remember our own baptism, whether that baptism is something that we can actually remember, or whether we acknowledge our baptism as infants. Our baptism is the beginning of our ministries, just like Jesus. It is out of our baptism that we serve God. It doesn't eliminate our difficulties, fix our problems, take away our pain, change our circumstances. But in some ways it transcends our biological existence. It changes us and offers us a way through these difficulties, and ultimately a way through death. Baptism offers us a vision of life, as it might be, a new way of being. It's a gift, not the result of something that we've done or our parents have done, but from God's gracious love. You know, ritually, we're only baptized once, but throughout our life, we return to the waters of baptism to live it out. If you haven't been baptized and would like to be, please speak to me about it. We're looking at several baptism Sundays this year. Baptism calls us into prayer in our daily serving. God breaks into our lives through prayer. New realities change our hearts and minds and keep us connected with God. Last week, we reflected on the wise men searching for Jesus and how this mirrored our searching for God. This week, Luke invites us not to lose hope in the wilderness. Tells us that God meets us at the River Jordan. And this inspires us to love others in their wilderness. It is through baptism that God says to us, I have called you by name, you are mine. And when we're at the River Jordan, in the wilderness, when we're struggling, questioning, wondering, or desperate, we remember that God is with us. Let's pray together. God of grace and glory, you call us with your voice of flame to to be your people, faithful and courageous. As your son embraced his mission in the waters of baptism, inspire us as we remember our own baptism to join in the transforming work of Jesus in the world. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to the place that was the least likely place. Thank you that you baptize with the Holy Spirit. Forgive us for when we forget. Forgive us for when we do say, even think things that separate us from you. Thank you that all our sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to live out our baptism every day. To be a people of prayer. And as you meet us at the River Jordan, help us to meet others at the River Jordan, to be people of love and hope and peace in a world that so desperately needs it. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.